Brother Harvey Bass was a faithful old brother at the church in Muleshoe, Texas. And he tucked away two things in his mind. He tucked away a favorite verse, and he tucked away a favorite song. And when old age set in, and when dementia and Alzheimer's began to take over, he still remembered his favorite verse and his favorite song. No matter when you would walk up to him, this is the verse that he would quote. Psalms 48, verse 2. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, and the city of the great king. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Hold on to that thought. And the last time that was blessed to see Brother Harvey, it had been a number of years. Many of you remember Brother Harvey Bass. He would lead singing at the West Texas Association. Sometimes there were 400, 500, 600 people in the congregation. And he would stand there with much zeal and force and ability and lead songs of praise. And I hadn't seen him in a number of years, and Elder Dwayne Schaefer and myself located where he was staying in a assisted living in Snyder, Texas. We stopped by to visit with him, and there wasn't any communication or response from Brother Harvey. The man that I remember that was so strong, that was so robust in leading singing, was now just the shell of a man, stooped over in a wheelchair. We talked for a while with no response. Brother Dwayne Schaefer said, "Uncle Harvey, do you have a song on your heart?" For the longest, no response. And then all of a sudden, little sound of amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That's a great way to face old age. To tuck away a favorite verse or a portion of scripture in your heart. To tuck away a favorite song that you can recall when you face old age. But you know, we shouldn't wait until old age to do it. Now's a great time to start. The topic, if the Lord would bless us, would be specifically to young folks. But before we get to that, Brother Zach has asked that we share a few thoughts about some of the small efforts and opportunities that the Lord has allowed us to have. Psalm 48 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth." He's talking about the church right here. You know, after listening to you sing, I don't believe that it's my role to convince you that this is the greatest joy on earth. In your singing, you were singing forth as you knew that this is the greatest joy on earth. Do you know that even though this is the greatest joy on earth, I just got a phone call this morning to make arrangements for a funeral of a dear sister that passed away. Do you know that even though this is the greatest joy on earth, and it is, we're told in Philippians that there's something even far better than what the greatest thing here on earth is. The greatest thing that we'll ever experience on this earth is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's told us that. And He tells us in Matthew that we should seek first His kingdom. There's only one first. Elder Sonny Powell said there can be a whole lot of seconds, but there ought to be only one first. And it ought to be His kingdom. He says, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. And then he comes on down in the latter part of the chapter and he says, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. I went to a church meeting recently, and I was the oldest person there. I thought, wow. Reality really sets in when you realize that. But you know, I realized that those faithful fathers and mothers in Israel that had carried the torch so faithfully that are no longer there, that they have now passed it on to us. It's our responsibility to carry that torch and to shine the light and to hold it faithfully as our forefathers have done. The church that I'm now pastoring, it just thrilled my soul when Brother Mike and Sister Peggy Stewart came in. We used to worship together on a regular basis and had wonderful memories, great blessings. We were talking that all of those faithful old brothers and sisters that were there 20 years ago, they're almost all going to be with the Lord. They put the church first. It was a priority in their life. And they set a great example for us. But now it's our privilege, our opportunity to carry that torch faithfully like they did. I shared with you last night, and I do it with a measure of sadness and a measure of sorrow, about the areas of the country that in the Northeast especially, and that's more what I'm familiar with, where churches have closed one by one over the last 100 years. To where that there's certain areas that it looks like that the Lord just almost took His hand. If you look at a map, it looks like He took His hand and closed the doors or allowed the doors to be closed of a lot of churches, especially in the Northeast, in the New England area. But you know, I don't believe for a minute that we should preach the Old Baptist funeral. I believe it's an exciting and a blessed time for us in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe that there's opportunities out there that are new and exciting today. Elder Cecil Darty, able minister, preached a message at Cincinnati. And I'll never forget the title of his message. And he was an old man at the time. He was probably late 70s, almost 80 years of age. And the message that he preached was titled, Missed Opportunities. And he said he looked back upon his life and he did an evaluation of his life. And he looked back upon his life and he realized that there were a host of opportunities that maybe God had put in front of him that he realized in old age that he'd missed out on. Paul tells us, as we therefore have opportunity. Did you know that there may be opportunities all around us that we're not looking for, that we're missing? Elder Compton said that he and Sister Compton, they carried in the back of their car a dozen folding chairs and a box of songbooks. And he said, we could just stop and have church anywhere. That there was a handful of people that wanted to have church. You know, among Old Baptists, it doesn't take a whole lot of arrangements to be able to have a worship service. But what it does take is the blessing of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It takes the presence and blessing of the Lord. couple of years ago. I had an invitation to come to upstate New York, up in the Catskill Mountains, and it had been the gentleman that invited me to come. He had put it in the newspaper, and he had put it on the radio and put it on television that we were going to have a worship service in one of these old historical buildings. And I drove up about a 6-hour trip to get up there, was excited about the service. And when we arrived, and when we waited, one person came. We did sing some songs. We did talk about the Lord. And we did pray that the Lord would revive a work. But I realized right then that we shouldn't ever take for granted the blessing that we have to have a worship service. Because it also takes the Lord putting it in the heart of somebody to be there. It doesn't take a whole lot. In fact, he says, where the two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm going to be there. Well, the little efforts that we've had a blessing to enjoy started in most cases with one person. The church up at Southampton, Pennsylvania, that is an active church today that has a pastor is a great blessing. It started with one person having an interest. Brother Hoyt Baucom. He's now up in his 80s. Faithful deacon of the church. The little group in New York City actually started because there was a sister that lived in New York and she really didn't have a place to worship. Some of you may know her, Sister Karen Stump. And then we found out that there was another sister, Sister Rachel Wilkinson. And so we started having services, and both of those sisters moved. Sister Karen to Nashville. Sister Rachel got married, and she moved to Georgia, and those sisters were gone. But do you know that was the start and the catalyst of a little group to meet? Then we met Brother John Taylor, that we've known his family and his mother so well. And then we began to meet other folks. And other folks begin to hear about it. And now the little group, the little effort, the little outreach has folks that travel from Connecticut. It's a family of five in that area. They travel from New Jersey, that travel from upstate New York and even in New York City itself. I was rejoicing as we were singing the hymns because I realized that it's this morning that they're actually having the worship service in New York City. Every first Saturday of the month, we're blessed to have worship services. Elder Asa Mosley is preaching there today. We rent a 15-passenger van from our church, and we park it close to the church. And on Saturday morning, we meet up there about 6:45, and usually the van's full, and sometimes we'll even need to take two vehicles to travel up and spend the day. We were meeting downtown in Manhattan in the Garment District in a high-rise building. The building that we first met in had many stories in it, and as we pulled up the first time, Laura Mosley, about 6 years old, got out and she walked up to the door and she said, "And this is church?" We've since been able to secure a meeting room in the First Baptist Church that was established in the 1700s, and we have a meeting room there, and it's in a great part of the city on the corner of 79th and Broadway. And it's just been a real blessing and an opportunity there. I don't know what the outcome will be, but I know the Lord has blessed us up to this point. a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday morning, not a morning that we normally had worship services. We took a group of folks up there, and at the peak, we had about 25, several from the city and several from the folks that we took. And we stood out on the front steps on the corner of 79th and Broadway. And we sang hymns and we sang Christmas songs and Christmas carols, spiritual songs to folks that were passing by. It's right there on the corner of where a subway station is. And at one point, there were over 40 people that were gathered around out front that were listening and joining in and singing hymns and taking pictures and giving thumbs up and smiling and telling and expressing what a blessing that it was to them. I pray that God shows us opportunities to reach out and meet these folks. The little effort in New Mexico, somebody said, "What do you mean going to New Mexico? New York and New Mexico? I wouldn't have arranged it." But there was an opportunity. We have a brother, Brother Gerald Lowry, that he and his wife attended, and he was a member of our church, is a member of our church. He moved to New Mexico for his health's sake. And after he settled out there around his family, he realized that there was, the church had closed years ago. And so we went out and he called his family together, and we began to make contact. We put it in the paper and we began to announce services. And the last time that we met, there were 29 that were there. It was a great blessing and a great joy. I don't know what the end result will be or what the outcome will be. But rather than claim the old Baptist funeral, I believe for me, it's the greatest joy on earth. And I want others to be able to share in that joy as well. And I hope that God will open doors. And I hope He'll give us a heart. And I hope He'll burden us and give us a vision for the revival of the church of Jesus Christ. It is His church. It's not ours. And as we're taught in Lamentations, that He can renew our days as of old. And that ought to be our prayer. I hope there'll be more meetings like this right here in Memphis, all across the country. And I mentioned those two areas to you because if you have folks that are within 100 miles of our meetings, relatives, friends, family, let us know their name and number, because we'll invite them and we'll encourage them. And we'll provide, if the Lord would bless, a home away from home. He says, walk about Zion, go round about her, and tell the towers thereof. And he says that you tell it on to the generation following. The time is now for us to carry that torch and to pass that torch on to those that follow along behind. It is such a blessing to see all the young folks that are here, and the zeal that you have in singing the hymns, the zeal that you have to fellowship together and worship the Lord. And I pray this will not be a discouragement to you, but maybe an encouragement. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Did you know that Satan has a bullseye on young folks? And if he can discourage you, or if he can hinder your zeal or hinder your path, then it may have a long-term effect upon your life. Is it possible? Is it possible for a young man to cleanse his way? with all of the challenges, with all of the distractions, with all of the enticements, with all of the pleasures, is it even possible for a young man to cleanse his way? We're not talking about the price of your sins being paid in full upon the cross of Calvary. That was paid by Jesus Christ. But we're talking about the walk that you have each and every day, putting one foot in front of the other. We're talking about the decisions that you make with the choices that are laid out before you. Is it even possible that a young man can be equipped to cleanse his way? We're taught in the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at some verses here in just a minute. It is especially to young people. It's good for all of us. It's great for all of us. But it is especially designed for young people. Especially young men. Now, Proverbs 31, if you go over to Proverbs 31, it'll begin to tell you about young women and older women and mature women. And it will explain that. And it will give you the traits of a godly woman. A virtuous woman. And it says that she's rare. And it says that she's valuable. That she's a blessing. She's a blessing to her husband. She's a blessing to her children. She's a blessing to her family. And it goes through and it outlines it. And when you're blessed in your life to have the example of a godly grandmother, a godly mother, a godly sister in the church, it is rare. You're not going to find it out in the world. But you can find it in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He starts off and he says the first thing right here is that we take God's word. We take it literally. We take it and apply it in our life. We use God's word to make the decisions in our life. In fact, he gives us some other verses that emphasize. He says, teach me, O Lord, thy way, thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. He says in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He says, the words of God are going to direct my path. They're going to direct my feet. They're going to give me light and direction here in my life. God's word is a great starting point for young men. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I want to look at about three or four points that I feel like may be a help to young men. Let's run over to the first chapter of Proverbs. And there's several things that are mentioned in the first part of this chapter that maybe one of these points, this is certainly not all inclusive, but this is a good starting point for young men to cleanse their way before the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to know wisdom. James tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally and upbraideth not. God is not going to rebuke you for asking him for wisdom. In fact, God delights for us to ask him for wisdom. And he says he's not going to upbraid us. He's not going to say, well, you should know better than that. He's not going to say, I've already told you before. You've asked me that many, many times, and here you come again. No, he says, if any man lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God. And God gives liberally. God gives abundantly. You know, the older you get, the more you realize that you need to know God's wisdom. I'm sure as parents, and certainly as pastors and deacons, and godly mothers in the church, we need to know the wisdom of Almighty God. oftentimes God reveals it to us in His Word. Oftentimes as we read God's Word, I don't know if you've experienced this, but maybe you're reading God's Word, you've got something on your heart, something on your mind that you need an answer to, and you're reading God's Word, and it just almost jumps off the page to you. It's almost as if it's been highlighted by a yellow highlighter. It's almost like it has your name right above it. And you knew that that was exactly for you. That's the place to go. The first place to go is to God's Word. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. When we get to be about 18 years of age, we think we finally got all the answers. We think we finally got it all figured out. We think we finally got life figured out. But a lot of times with the decisions that we make, we realize that we really didn't have it figured out. How many times do we wait until we're in a big fix and then we run to the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me get out of this fix? When in essence, if we'd have gone to the Lord first, if we'd have gone to the Lord first before we made that decision, before we pursued that course, before we went down that path, before we established that relationship, established that friendship, if we had gone to the Lord first, it might be that we wouldn't have made that decision. He says to the young man, knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He said it's a start for a young man to have wisdom if he's willing to listen. If he's willing to hear. Remember when Brother Justin Huffman was beginning to exercise in the ministry, and we had the blessing of fellowshipping and worshiping with Brother Justin. And I remember how that he would desire to sit before older ministers. He wanted to go down and visit Elder Compton. He wanted to go down and visit different ones. And he would sit at their feet and listen to their words of counsel and to their words of instruction and to their words of wisdom. He says to understand the proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And then he says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. The fear of the Lord. The fool doesn't have a fear of God. The fool does not fear God. Have you ever seen somebody and they've worn a banner or worn a shirt or had a bumper sticker that said, no fear? Did you know that we as children of God, young men, young women, we should have a godly fear of Almighty God. We should have an awesome respect for God. We should have a respect for His power. We should have a respect for who He is, for His creation. We should have a tremendous respect for Almighty God. We should fear God. And then the second one, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Did you know that he begins to instruct us that in order to cleanse your way before the Lord, he says, you're to respect and honor the role of your mother and father. Did you know that there's not going to be anybody else in the world that's going to pull for you, that's going to pray for you, that's going to labor for you, that's going to encourage you, that's going to be there for you any more than your mother and father. Did you know that your mother and father, they know all about you? The only one that knows you better than your mother and father is your heavenly father. But your mother and father, they know what makes you tick. They know where the hot spots are. They know what encourages you. And he says that we are to honor, we are to respect, that we are to listen to the instruction of our father and forsake not the law of our mother. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We've got a lot of young folks here, and what a blessing it is. And if you want to know how to serve the Lord right, you obey your parents. Because God says, this is right. Now, I obeyed my father because I knew that if I didn't obey my father, even though I don't know that he knew it was taught in the scriptures, my father used the biblical example of discipline. And he didn't spare it. And he used it frequently. And I expect I needed it. But he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right before your parents. It's right before your peers. But more than anything else, it's right before the Lord. That's the one that it should be our greatest desire and our greatest aim to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what? It doesn't stop when we reach age 18. It doesn't. If you can find it in the scriptures here that we're to obey our parents in the Lord until we reach the age 18, and then at 19, we don't have to do it, I'd like you to show it to me. But did you know that this applies to us as long as we have parents? My mother said, I can't believe I have a son as old as you. Did you know that I'm still under that instruction to obey my father and my mother? We have an elderly sister in the church. It's Sister Barbara Dixon. She'll be 100 years old next year. And her daughter's 83. Her daughter still honors her mother. She cared for her in her home until just a few months ago. And by the way, I believe this certainly is applicable for us when we're young, especially when we're young. But I believe that it's also there, that commandment is there. When our parents reach old age, the best way for you to honor them is for you to in turn do to them and for them what they did for you when you were young. They met your every need. And God will bless you with an opportunity to do that. And it'll be a great blessing if you'll do it and not give that to somebody else to do. It sure will. You probably heard it said that a mother can take care of 12 kids, but 12 kids can't take care of a mother. How sad that is. Pray that God will put it upon your heart that when your parents reach old age, I remember Brother Zach telling us, and we've shared this at our home church many times, that he had the best insurance policy money could buy for Sister Judy. He said he's taught all of his kids that if he passes away before her, that it is their privilege and responsibility to care for her. Honoring your father and mother is especially important when you're young, but it's also very important when you get old. And by the way, your kids are watching how you care for your parents. And they may remember that when you get old as well. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and it'll be chains about thy neck. Do you know what he's saying right here? I believe that what he's saying is that if you honor and you're obedient to your parents, it's a beautiful sight. It is. You don't hear often in the world today, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. What a blessing it is when folks honor their parents that way. Did you know it shows to the folks that are around? And it's like beautiful ornaments of grace and beautiful chains about thy neck. It's a beautiful sight when you see young folks honoring their father and mother. It's a beautiful sight. So, by the way, for a young man to start cleansing his way, first of all, is to take heed to the Word of God. And number two, honoring your father and mother. You say, well, my parents are not perfect. Maybe not. God doesn't give us perfect parents. But are we perfect? No. We're to honor our father and mother. The next one right here says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Paul tells us this, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We may think that we're stronger than the influence around us, but oftentimes we're not. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us right here. Another place that the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to abstain from the very appearance of evil. You say, well, I'm strong. I can overcome it. That's not what Paul says. Satan likes to sell us the bill of goods, and he likes us to see sometimes how close we can get to sin and not commit it. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has your password? He does. He knows what you see on the computer. He knows what you see on the iPad. He even knows if you tweet. I've never tweeted. I haven't so far. But if Jesus Christ were to visit your house, if he were a guest at your home, would you go through and would you clean house before he came? Is it okay for Jesus Christ to sit in the living room and to watch the programs that you watch on television? Is it okay for Jesus Christ to scan the radio dial and see what stations that you've got preset on your radio? Is it okay for Jesus Christ to look through your bookshelf and to look at the books and the movies and things like that that are there? Well, did you know that Jesus Christ knows? Is it okay for Jesus Christ to go along with you with your group of friends? Is that okay? I had one gentleman tell me years ago, he said, is it okay? Now, usually if somebody has to ask that, the answer is probably no. I asked my pastor one time, Elder Afton Richards, he was almost 70 years old. I said, is it okay if I take square dancing lessons? Now, can you imagine me square dancing? I didn't take them. He said, what's the good that's going to come out of it? What benefit is it going to be? Is it going to honor and is it going to glorify the Lord? Now, that's a West Texas thing, square dancing for old folks. But I had a gentleman say, is it okay? I've got a group of friends that's going out. And this individual was a recovered, supposedly recovered alcoholic. And he said, is it okay if I go to this basketball game and my friends have asked me to be the designated driver because there's going to be some drinking that's involved? Is it okay? I said, absolutely not. Don't you wish that some of the times folks would take heed to your counsel when they ask you? He went ahead and went anyway. And rather than this individual influence his friends influenced him in the wrong way. Is it okay? No. The Apostle Paul tells us that we should abstain from the very appearance of evil. If it even looks like it, we ought to run the other direction. Old Brother Afton Richards, boy, he had a lot of wisdom. He said, one of the best defenses against trouble, against sin, is distance. Put a little distance between you and somebody that's enticing you to go the wrong way. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He says, if they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up as alive as the grave, as whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance and we shall fill our houses with spoil. The next way that he mentions that we've talked about for a young man to cleanse his way is to consider the company that he keeps. What a great blessing to have the fellowship that you have right here of young folks, one with another, to encourage one another. And then he says, let us cast in thy lot among us and let us all have one purse. What's he saying? Take what you have, put it in the pot, and it'll benefit all of us, and we'll have it all in common. And he tells us right here, absolutely don't go that direction. My son, walk not thou with them, and refrain thy foot from their path. In chapter 4, this is how he describes it right here. He says, take fast hold on instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is life. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. And then he describes it right here. He says, avoid it. That means put forth some effort. Diligently put forth some effort to avoid being in the wrong setting with the wrong people. I have a minister that lives in another state. And his son had gotten mixed with the wrong crowd and pursued the wrong course. And it took a tremendous tragedy upon his life. And I was talking to his father, the pastor, and in the discussions of it, I said, how much of it, if you were looking at on a scale from 0 to 100, if you were considering the percentage, how much of it would you attribute to being with the wrong people, the peer pressure? I was surprised at what he said. This may not be the case in every case or all the time, but he said, 100%. Wow. Does it matter who we associate with? Absolutely it does. I want to be with the Lord's people as much as I can. I want to fellowship with the Lord's people because I need it. I need to be encouraged by the Lord's people. I need to be strengthened by the Lord's people. I need to be with godly people. I need to be with folks that are on the same journey that I'm on. Yes, we have difficulties and we have setbacks and we have discouragements along the way. But we're headed in the same direction. I want folks that if they've had experiences that they can encourage me with, that they've been there where I am. I need their help. I need to be with God's people. I do. And you know what? You do too. You do. I received an email from a gentleman that discovered the Primitive Baptist online. That's one of the good things that came out of it. He pastored a Lutheran church, and he began to ask a lot of questions. And he said, "I've come to have an appreciation for the doctrines of grace." Well, I always get excited when somebody has an appreciation for the doctrines of grace. For whatever degree and whatever measure it is, I get really excited about that. And so he sent me a list of questions. I shared them with Brother Zach yesterday. He sent a list of questions. And he said, I'm pastoring a little congregation of about 20 people down in Baltimore. And he said, if I were to join the Primitive Baptist, he came and attended one of our services. And at the end of the service, I made the announcement, if there's somebody that desires to follow in gospel baptism, if the Lord has stirred your heart and you desire to follow in gospel baptism, we invite you to do so at this time. And he said, I was perplexed about that. He said, if I were to follow in gospel baptism, would I have to unite with the Primitive Baptist? He asked about four different questions. And I thought, I didn't respond by email. I called him and I set up a meeting, and we went and met for about an hour and had lengthy discussions. And I wanted to know the spirit in which he was asking the questions. Some folks like to ask questions just to stir up an argument, and I'm just not well suited for that. That's why there's certain areas of the country it probably wouldn't do well for me to live in, but that's just not my approach. But we sat down and we had a wonderful conversation. And I thought, after I attempted to answer it from the scriptures, I thought also, why in the world would you not want to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ? If it is the most beautiful spot on earth, and you say, I know we have our problems and difficulties. Well, this is life. We're not going to have that when we get to glory. But I tell you, when I signed up with the old Baptist through baptism over 40 years ago, it's been the greatest joy on earth. And I hope that the Lord will bless me to live another 40 years in the Church of Jesus Christ. He said, would I have to join the Primitive Baptist? And then he said, what about the congregation that I'm meeting with? Would I have to forsake the congregation that I'm meeting with? And I met with him and I said, absolutely not. I said, we would delight to load up a van load of our folks and come down and worship together. And teach these truths that you've come to appreciate and love to this little congregation that you're meeting with right now. And let them see the beauty of the Lord's church. We're taught that we're to set up, or we're to recognize, the memorials that are in the Church of Jesus Christ. A memorial, if you go to Washington, D.C., you can go to almost every block and you see memorials, and they're tributes to somebody famous that you're supposed to remember. All of the memorials in the Church of Jesus Christ point to Christ. Shouldn't be any memorials that point to anything other than Jesus Christ. But our privilege and blessing is to share these memorials with these young folks, and with the new folks, and with these new groups. And if God blesses us with an opportunity to share it with one person or 20 people, we should be praying that God would bless us to share it in love and to share it in joy. We shouldn't go and tell them all the things that they're doing wrong. No. We shouldn't go and say, well, Primitive Baptists don't believe in this, this, and this. We ought to go and share what we do believe, and that is Jesus Christ. And we ought to tell them that Jesus Christ is completely sufficient in paying the price and that he did it in full and he's completely victorious. And let them get a glimpse of the Christ that you worship and share it with them. Because if it's the most beautiful joy and the greatest thing upon this earth, if it really is, shouldn't we desire to share it with others? We shouldn't just keep it to ourselves. We shouldn't just go to the house of the Lord and say it's just for me and my poor and no more. We ought to pray that God would bless us with a heart to reach out and to share it. Brother Gus Harder says one of the greatest evangelistic efforts in a church is a satisfied church member. We ought to be not only satisfied church members, we ought to be rejoicing church members. We ought to be going out and telling others what great things that the Lord has done for us. We don't have to understand all the points of the doctrine. We don't have to understand everything in its fullness. You don't have to be able to recite the articles of faith. You don't have to be able to explain everything in great detail. But you can tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. And you can say, why don't you just come and see? And by the way, when folks come and see, if we're praying that the Lord's going to send us visitors, if we're praying that the Lord's going to send us folks our way, we ought to do everything we can in our power and in our effort to make them feel welcome when they come. There's a wonderful church down in Central Texas. Well, there's a lot of wonderful churches in Central Texas, but this particular church, the Oak Hill Church down in Central Texas, the whole church body is excited about reaching out. If somebody comes to their church as a visitor, they're welcomed and they're invited and they're made to feel at home. We had a couple that came to our church. Brother Mike, Sister Peggy knew them well. They came to our church and they had passed by the church for 43 years. And one Sunday, they had a discussion amongst them. And he said to his wife, let's go up this morning and let's visit that little white church in Bel Air. They didn't know the doctrine. They didn't maybe know all the practice. But when they walked in, another sister, in the way that she greeted them and welcomed them, and expressed joy that they were there and happiness that they were there, they said that stuck with them. It made them want to go back. It made them want to hear more. And they kept coming and attended. They were in their 70s. Brother Jack and Sister Mozella Polk and Brother Mike was there. He'll remember this well. They came for probably a year, continued coming. Then they invited his brother. And he brought his wife. And they kept coming. And one Thursday evening, I got a phone call from his wife. And she said, Brother Stephen, I've been wanting to follow in baptism and unite with the church. But she says, I don't know what Jack's going to think about it. That's her husband. She says, I really want to be baptized. I really want to follow in baptism. But I'm concerned about how my husband's going to respond. I said, if the Lord puts that on your heart, it's the answer of a good conscience. The best time to following gospel baptism is when the Lord has stirred your conscience. Because it's the answer of a good conscience before God. So the next Sunday, Brother Mike was sitting behind her. They stayed for communion. It's the first time they'd ever witnessed feet washing in communion. And I'm telling you, it was a Holy Ghost experience. The Lord began to stir her heart during the communion service to the point that she couldn't hardly sit there calmly. And I remember Brother Mike sort of nodding to me. After a communion, we don't normally do this, but I extended an opportunity for membership. And Sister Mo was a good-sized woman. And she started down the aisle. And I don't know if you've ever seen the show The Price is Right, where they say, come on down. she was barreling down. I'm telling you what, if I'd have been in her way, she'd have knocked me down. She got down there and she fell on her knees and she said, if these people will have me, I want a home in the church. She was worried about what her husband would do. When she raised up her head, her husband was standing right there beside her. And he said, I want a home in the church as well. It's the greatest joy on earth. Don't wait till you're 75 years old. You take up your cross while you're young. There's a whole host of blessings you're going to get. Not just coming into the church to die in the church, but living in the church. How can a young man cleanse his way? You first of all start by reading God's Word. And you honor your parents. And you stick with the right folks. And you pray that God will put some distance between you and those that may influence you the wrong way. And I believe that the right folks, the best folks on this earth, not perfect, are right here in His church. It's the greatest joy on earth.